been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, another draft is in the books here for the Ravens. The 2022 draft class is official. And since we're talking about classes and school and everything, the Ravens got that elusive A++ by many pundits.
One of two grades.
One of two grades.
Another bird got an A+, and it's not who you think. Because there's another bird. Yeah.
Another. Who's the other bird?
The Philadelphia Eagles apparently got the other A+.
Well, that's because they were piggybacking off of us. Everybody was saying that, you know, the guy that they picked at 13th was going to be a Raven.
And that was true. Because I, if you looked at my tweets, I said it was going to be him. And then ended up getting picked up by the Eagles. So, and then it almost happened again when the Texans jumped in front of us and grabbed Minshew, the receiver at Alabama, because we were thin on receiver at the time. We'll cover all that. So it was kind of like the same thing, but they were discussing during the draft how the Ravens in the draft that they drafted Terrell Suggs in, that apparently the Ravens were leapfrogged and somebody traded ahead of the Ravens to apparently pick a player that they were looking at, and the Ravens settled for Terrell Suggs. Not too shabby, right?
Not too shabby at all. So Josh, let's just go broad picture right here. Let's not go player by player right now. Let's just go broad picture. A lot of pundits have given that A++ to the Ravens. What is the grade that you give their draft class this year?
A++ is, I mean, hey, it's awesome. You want to gush about it. The Ravens mastered it beautifully. I mean, you know what? I have to agree with them. I mean, they did a masterful job, and I almost just want to give a flat A because you just don't know what these players and how they pan out, but that could be for any team, right? So
sure, yeah.
Definitely an A+, because before this draft, they only had one first-round pick. And to get two, and then ended up with not only they had five in the fourth round, and they ended up tying a record. Was like the second or third time that it was like the third most picks ever in a round. They ended up with six fourth round picks. So just the way they maneuvered a board and the way that the talent fell to them and the instant reaction when that happened. I'm gonna side with the grade. I'm not gonna downgrade it. What do you think, man? Do you agree?
I think that this was one of the best, on paper, one of the best classes that the Ravens have drafted. It seems like there weren't any knee-jerk reactions. The issues that the Ravens have had, we talked about it last week. This team had a lot of holes, and they filled up a lot of those holes. Now, there are still some question marks, like wide receiver. A lot of those fans out there on the Twitterverse are going, why did we get a wide receiver? We let our number one wide receiver go. We didn't draft another wide receiver. What is going on? What are you thinking? But I'm not worried about that right now, because Lamar has shown he favors the tight end position and who he throws to, and they've bolstered the tight end position with this draft class. They bolstered up the running back position as well for some in case of injuries and that kind of thing. I think this class was an A++. I think that they know who their quarterback is. They're looking at his strengths, and they want to get him back to that 2019 year. And they definitely did that with not only the tight ends that were drafted, but that second first round pick. They got a center. You know, there was a lot of question marks. What's going to happen now that Bradley Bozeman is gone? Are they going to move over a player? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that with the offensive line? They got a first-round center, a big-time, a big guy, a big part of this team that he's going to start day one making an impact. There's not going to be any learning on the job.
There isn't.
He's going to be there day one making an impact.
these guys, and we talked about that, right? Drafting these guys immediately and starting them and to bolster the A-plus rating, right? We remember we talked about who exited the team. Deshaun Elliott, gone, right? Safety, fills a need. Bradley Bozeman, oh, gone. We need help on the line, especially center. Center says guard. What did the Ravens do in the first round? Safety, center. They immediately filled those needs. Immediately. Now, we have a lot to break down with this draft in reactions, but, you know, when I look at that first round, I'm sitting there, like, when the Ravens picked at 14, you know, and they picked Hamilton and obviously, you know, the Eagles made their pick, and we're like, all right, who are the Ravens going to get? And we found out it was Kyle Hamilton. I'm like, all right, solid. I made a joke to my buddy at the time watching the draft. I said, don't turn the draft off and go to bed. Why? Because I joked, because several friends of mine in 2018, and I think I alluded to this before, they went to bed after the Ravens picked and missed the Lamar pick. And I'm like, and at one point in this draft, not only with the Ravens, but there was three straight trades of picks. Like, it was like someone's on the clock. Oh, trade. Someone's on the clock. Oh, next trade. Like, things were getting crazy. And I think there was, I forget what the NFL said. There was a record, like, 17 or 20 picks and trade picks within the first two rounds. Like, it was insane. So, but when the Hamilton pick, I'm going over the reaction, and then all of a sudden, my buddy was like looking at TV and he goes, wait, Ravens are on the list again. I'm like, what? And then someone said, like, they moved back up to 23rd. I'm like, what happened? And then, like, my phone went bonkers. I didn't have a charger that night, Brandon. My phone was on like 13% by the end of the night because, like, the trade just blew everything wide open and no one expected it. And we have a lot of talk about to unpack there, but not only that, but dude, two Browns removed, you know, AJ Brown. How about not only the other A-plus rating, the Eagles making moves. They trade for AJ Brown from the Titans. And that kind of set things into motion. It was like, hey, players getting moved middle of the draft. Like, let's go. And when the Ravens traded Brown, and when I found out it was Marquise Brown, I said, what? They did what? And I was on the phone with somebody. I said, hey, I call you back. I look at my phone. I'm like, I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, what? Not like mad. I'm just like shocked, like excited. Like, yo, what is I was like, stop the press. Like, we just traded Marquise Brown and we're back in the first round. I'm like, let's go. Brandon, I wasn't even bothered by it. I wasn't like, oh my God, they traded Marquise Brown. I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that. Instant reaction on social media. You could tell the football fans from the people who don't watch football at all. Can't believe the Ravens trade Marquise Brown. EDC sucks. Fire everybody. It's, again, same thing. And then the people who understand football, who I know, oh, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm okay with it. So it's kind of crazy to see that and putting people in those two boxes because you either had one reaction or the other. You're okay with it. You're completely, utterly shell-shocked, and we're like, what are they doing? For getting into all of that, what was your reaction, man?
My first reaction, well, first off, I worked a like a 12 and a half hour day, so I missed the first hour of the draft. So I was
so you stayed awake for the draft?
I stayed awake for the draft, what? But when I got home and it was like the 12th pick. So when the Philadelphia Eagles, let me tell you something too. Watching the draft, if you're just doing it at home, can be kind of boring because it's just like calling out names. Listening to the draft on the drive home after a 12-hour day, incredibly boring to listen to the draft if you're in your car. But anyway, the Jordan Davis pick at 13, the first thing I did was when they yelled out his name, I went, that's our guy! They just got our guy! And I'm like, oh God, so what are the Ravens going to do? And they went with that safety position, and they got this kid, Kyle Hamilton. Right, they picked him up. My first initial thought was, that he's a safety, though. Like, that's not something the Ravens really needed at the time. You know, they got Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark is there as well. And I'm like, all right, we did say on the show that this was kind of like an insurance year almost, that we saw a lot of injuries, a lot of guys go down. So this guy will definitely add to the depth. But I texted you immediately going, do you think that this was like a panic move by the Ravens? The fact that they went for a safety because he was the best player available. Do you think they panicked about it? And then after reading some stuff that happened later, because you said, no, it's not a Paddock move. This guy's a great player. This is a great pickup.
And they needed it as a loser. Like, they need to fill that position. So, yeah. But
right.
Yeah.
So like, after that was my initial reaction. After reading some of the stuff in EDC's press conference and everything like that, he pretty much said that Kyle and them met, and he said, look, if you're still on the board at 14, you're ours. You're a Raven. So they had an eye on this kid for a while. They have faith in him, and say that he doesn't, you know, play every single play that he could this year. They have a plan for him moving forward. So is he going to be third in the depth chart? Is he going to be something like that? I don't know. Only time will tell. But the Ravens seem to be very high on this guy. And, you know, I'm hearing stuff. They're comparing him to past Raven safeties as well, as this guy being that skilled in that position. So I think the Ravens were really smart with that first pick. But the Hollywood Brown thing, again, initial reaction with that was, number one, I was like, cool. You knew I wasn't happy with his performance last year. I was like, this guy, it's just not working out. He's not built for this. It's not good. My initial worry was, cool, he's gone. Great. See you later. And we got a great pick. We got, what was it, number 25?
Three.
23. He was the 25th pick when we got him. So we traded him and actually moved two spaces up, if you look at it that way.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just think about that for a minute. You drafted a player 3 years ago at 25. You turn around 3 years later before you even give him a contract, and you trade him for a better pick. Not only that, and this is why I stick with the A-plus grade. Do you know what the Ravens did there? They outsmarted the Chiefs. They got a better first-round pick for Marquise Brown than the Chiefs got for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Insane. Insane. Yeah. Like, when I read that, I was like, yo, did they just do that? I said, EDC is a madman. Like, he just got 3 years of Marquise Brown and got, like you just alluded to, two picks better in the current draft. And they're back on the 23rd clock. And you're probably – I see where you're going with this, where you're probably like, okay, that's cool, but – what are we going to do, receiver? Is that where you're going with it? Like,
well, just not only that, I was like, all right, does that mean like Lamar and EDC aren't seeing eye to eye right now? Because they just traded away Lamar's best friend. I was like, that. What does this mean for Lamar's contract? Are they going to be trying to play hardball with him now that he hasn't signed anything? I'm like, what does this mean for Lamar? What does that mean for our QB? Now, after the dust has settled, Marquise went on to a podcast. And, you know, there were – you kind of realized it. I realized it. That stuff was going on before the draft, because Hollywood Brown took all indications for anything Ravens related off of his social media accounts. There was talk of him quitting football and just becoming a Twitch streamer full time. So, like, you knew there was trouble brewing. But, like, now that the dust has settled, Marquise has come out and said he asked for the trade. He knew he wasn't going to excel here at the Ravens. And he did talk to Lamar about it and told him, I just wasn't happy. It's not you. It's just the situation. Right. It's just, this isn't a good fit for me. I've been at jobs before where I'm like, this just isn't a good fit. So I think Lamar's okay. I think Hollywood's happy to not be here anymore.
Well, is Lamar really okay? Because what's all this knee-jerk reaction on social media with the WTF and the angry emojis? Like, when he shared the Arizona Cardinals' tweet with Marquise, he had the puppy emoji, where the crying emojis, and then the cuss word emoji with the angry face, right? With the bleeped out face. And I'm like, is he just venting because he didn't know, or did he really know and he's just really venting anyway? Like, it's hard to read between the lines. And I told my buddy the other night, I was like, what's going to be interesting here when Lamar is first asked about this publicly, because we don't know what that's about. And of course the WTF happened when we drafted Linderbaum. And of course, and he saved face saying like, that wasn't about my new center, because everybody was like thinking like, oh, he's mad now that they trade. He's pick and got a center. I was like, well, why would he be mad? Because we need that, because both him and Tyler were running for their lives last year. So a lot to unpack there. But, you know, staying on that first round in the Marquise Brown pick, I was going with that whole receiver thing. So, of course, you know, when friends get on the phone and talk draft strategy during the draft, it never bodes well, because we get really, really insane with our stuff, right? So immediately when the Eagles did what they did and traded for A.J. Brown, and then we traded away Marquise Brown, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking like, okay, the Ravens are back on the clock at 23. What are we going to do with that? And while I'm on the phone with my buddy, I'm looking at like raw reaction to like fans and seeing what's going on and what the strategy might be. Two names were thrown out there during the draft: Debo and DK, both in the NFC West. And I'm like, yo. And then I'm like getting insane here with, and we were on the phone, like, just, I was so insanely nuts. I was like, bro, they're going to flip that pick. They're going to trade for Debo or DK. And we're like, oh, it's going to happen. They're going to do it. And we're like flipping out, like thinking that's what's going to do. And then like Brandon, as the pick got closer, I'm like, they got to do it, right? They got to do that. I'm like, our receiver in core sucks right now, but I'm thinking like, I don't have faith in it, right? We have a Bateman who's technically a rookie, hasn't really played a full year. And looking at the receiver room after the trade, and they've already released Boykin. So you're when the Brown trade happened, Brandon, I'm thinking, okay, you let go two receivers already, either by trade or release. Your number one's Rashad Bateman, which obviously he did solid. He proved the point. But you have all the wide receivers on the roster, don't have any more than 50 catches, 53 catches or something like that. You have Bateman, Duvernay, Prochet, Tylan Wallace, Jalen Moore, and Benjamin Victor. So, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, they got to flip this pick for a receiver. Like, they got to do it. And then I'm, like, looking at Debo saying, like, he don't want to be the gimmick guy. And I'm like, are they going to get DK? But DK's hurt right now. So I'm like, what's going to happen? So, Brandon, they trade back. Not only did they get the 23rd pick, but then they trade back with Buffalo to get 25. So I'm thinking, like, do you need more time? They need more time to make a trade. So we're all flipping out again. So in retrospect, they did get the 23rd pick from Marquise, but then it was even Stevens with the 25th pick, and it ended up being Tyler Lindenbaum, which actually was a fantastic pick because
I'm ecstatic for that one. I really am.
I mean, when that happened and I said that, I'm like, boom, perfect. You have a guy who could be an all pro for the next 10 years. He's probably going to definitely be a Pro Bowler. I don't know what the talent I to do my, and I know more about Lindenbaum than I do Kyle Hamilton. So it's easier for me to say, I feel like Lindenbaum is going to be a Pro Bowler before Kyle Hamilton. I don't know. I don't care if one's picked higher than the other. I mean, Hayden Hurst was picked higher than Lamar and look how that worked out. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, Hayden Hurst was picked higher than Andrews and look what Mark Andrews is doing. So you just don't know. So, but that bolsters the line that solidifies the loss for Bozeman. I'm ecstatic, and he was the top-rated safety, and it's hard to get – not top-rated. Top-rated safety and a top-rated center in the first round. I'm actually trying to find some of the instant raw reaction, but
he's the first center that the Ravens have ever drafted in the first round as well. So,
exactly.
I mean, that's something big, but think about it. Marshall Yanda was, you know, a legend at that position for the Ravens, an absolute legend. He had a little bit with Ryan Jensen, then he went off to greener pastures to Tampa Bay. We haven't been able to find anybody to fill that spot and really make an impact. And we saw what happened last year. Like, I keep going back. I love Bradley Bozeman. He was great on this team, great in the community. But you go back to that game in Buffalo, what was it, 2 years ago, and he's the crowd is so loud, and they zoom in on his face, and he looks over at Lamar, and he just goes, I can't hear them. I can't hear you. I can't hear you, because the crowd was deafening. So he struggled at center. He definitely 100% struggled at center this past year. So he left. It was unfortunate, but first round pick, this guy's going to come in, and Lamar and him, they're going to have to get along, and they're going to have to work well together. And I think that this guy gives us a real good chance to do that. He's a number one first round center. You know he's going to come in day one into the NFL and know what he's doing, and that's what we need. This offensive line needs to get bolstered up, and the guy holding the football, handing it off to Lamar, he's key. He's got to do his job well, and I think he's going to be able to do it.
Absolutely, man. And the first round couldn't have been more ecstatic. And instead of chopping up the show, I'm going to save all the instant raw reactions, the kind of recap in the show there, because I think you're really going to get an idea of what the pulse of everybody thinks of the Ravens draft and instant reaction of what happened as the night went on. But not only that, but you flipped those picks, got some trades, you know, happening there for the Ravens. And not only that, but they acquired another fourth round pick along the way. They went from 5 to 6, and EDC's exact words were the fourth round's going to be epic. And I'm like, man, I can't wait. Right. Way to get through rounds two and three. So the Ravens had the second round pick, 45th overall, coming to them. There was speculation of what they might do here. Would they even, you know, draft a receiver here to do it? And I'm thinking, and I even threw out the name that it was John Mechie III, I think, from Alabama. I was like, another Alabama receiver. You know, and of course the Texans trade up right before us at 44 to grab him. And I'm thinking, like, what are they going to do here? Are they going to get – and we've talked about the name David Ojabo, right? But we were like, if he's still there, where are the Ravens taking? Because coming off that Achilles, that's very important, and you don't want to draft him too high, right? But who are we to judge? Because when the pick actually happened and Ravens smid that pick and it was David Ojabo, I lost my ever-loving mind. I'm like, yes, and I'm screaming, yes. Everybody blew up. This was a Ravens pick right there, oozing. Not only that, but Ian Rappaport alluded to it. Just like Cam Akers came back last year for the Rams and in the playoffs, he was hurt in training camp and tore his Achilles.
Right.
David Ojabo tore his Achilles over a month ago in pro day. He's going to be ready by mid-October. So we just got and before the pro day Achilles injury, he was a top 15 pick. So essentially, in the first 45 picks of the NFL draft this year, the Ravens have top talent. They have first-round talent all around in 3 picks. And who'd have thought that was going to happen? He reunites with his coordinator. He's and we got away, who's from Penn State. Imagine Ojabo in a way. How we address the pass rush. Yes. David Ojabo is going to be a freak. Can't wait for him to get healthy. Couldn't be more happier with that pick. And then we followed that up.
And also, we got to real quick just say that he's a Michigan guy as well, so you know he knows the Harbaugh as well.
Right, goes from one Harbaugh to the other, has his D coordinator still. So, wow. I mean, it's a perfect fit for that. And not only that, but they followed up with the UConn guy. Big, huge defensive tackle, over 300 pounds, Travis Jones. The reaction on this guy was amazing. So they snag a Travis Jones right after him, and Max wants to say hi too.
Yeah.
They followed that up with the Travis Jones pick in the third round, and the reaction on him, man, was ecstatic. So they hit 2 more home runs in the second and third. In the first 76 picks, they have 4 solid guys that can make immediate impact. I'm like, yo, this draft is off the chain, man. Like, they killed it already without even drafting in the fourth round at least.
Yeah, the fact that they were able to get, I mean, drafting an already injured player, I mean, that could play this year. I mean, we look at Ronnie Stanley. He was supposed to play last year, and he missed the entire season. So
look at Rashad Bateman, too, remember?
That's right, yeah.
He came in half the year and still made an impact. So to get a guy there and get him mid-October, it's not like it's a starter right now, but he's going to be.
Right, and the fact that he was rumored to get picked up by the Ravens at number 14, the fact that they were able to get him at 45, I mean, that is crazy. You think about it, you have the potential of 3 first-round picks playing this year. That's absolutely insane. And then, like you said, Travis Jones being a part of this as well. Think about it, you got Calais Campbell coming back, Derek Wolfe, who – we know our feelings on him. He potentially could come back, but Travis Jones being a part of this as well, it's going to be crazy. Michael Pierce as well is going to be here. Brandon Williams, he's still a free agent. No one has picked him up. Could he come back at a lesser price? I mean, that's a lot of big dudes on this defense that, like you said, it's going to help with the pass rush immensely here.
It's going to help big time. And you've already addressed all the needs, right? Getting after a quarterback, safety. The Ravens were, I think, dead last in pass coverage last year. And I know they had a lot of injuries to attribute to that. But, bro, sky's the limit right now for these first 4 picks. And then beyond, they continue to crush it. And they had a slew of picks on day 3.
That's right, yeah. So let's talk about some of these guys in round 4. We got 6 in round 4 to talk about. Daniel Falele, which he was rumored, especially with the guys from the Lounge, to be a Raven in their mock draft. So he's definitely been connected with the Ravens since the very beginning. We've got a cornerback, Jalen Armour-Davis. We have tight end Charlie Kohler. We have a punter, Jordan Stout. We have another tight end, Isaiah Likely. And then we have a cornerback, Damarian Williams. And then we've got round six, Tyler. I don't know if this is how you say the name, but Tyler Batty is just that. I want that on the back of a jersey because that is such a fantastic name for football, Tyler Batty. But that was everybody on day three, rounds four and six. Two tight ends in round four, which was I thought was interesting. Two tight ends. RG3 put out a tweet that I want to bring this up. I posted this over on the Call Facebook page as well. And he had a really good point because a lot of people, again, were complaining no wide receivers. RG3 tweeted this out. The Baltimore Ravens offense was most dangerous with the four-headed monster of Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, Nick Boyle, and Patrick Ricard in 2019. They are trying to get that formula back by drafting tight ends Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely. He makes a fantastic point here. Absolutely brilliant point here. And I think that's what the Ravens are doing. I think they're trying to get back to that 2019 offense. Drafting these two tight ends will definitely help that out. Lamar has shown he favors the tight end position to throw to, especially with Mark Andrews. And I think they're trying to rebuild. They know what Lamar's strengths are. They're trying to rebuild and bring back that 2019 offense. And two tight ends in the fourth round, I think those are brilliant, great pickups.
Oh, absolutely. And to reconstruct that formula, you kind of go back to do what's working. I mean, it was Lamar's MVP season, 14-2. The Ravens wrote off 12 straight wins after starting 2-2. I mean, the year was unbelievable. And alluding to that tight end, Charlie Kohler, he was drafted in the fourth round, but he scored. I'm going to give some notes on him. He scored a 9.12 RES out of a possible 10. This ranked 90 out of 1,014 tight ends from 1987 to 2022. And someone asked what the RAS is. It's the athletic testing grading scale. So he's a tight end from Iowa State. So there's a grading scale and I have it. I can always share it on the Call Facebook page. There's a grading scale towards that. So, but he scored high. So it's all you need to know. So the Ravens did their homework in the drafting a running back here and even a punter in the punter, everybody was like, what's about that? But you know what? Think about it. And me and you talked about that too. And it's kind of bittersweet because Sam Cook's been a long time Raven. He has the most starts as a Raven, obviously, in the position he's in at 39 going to 40. You know, I think he's a $3 million cap hit. And the Ravens said they could save that kind of money and sign some of these players. So the Ravens were looking at for themselves and drafting a punter because they could release him. And I know your words were you're disappointed because you want the Ravens to kind of let him retire on his terms, given that he's kind of earned that right.
Right.
And I alluded to it. I agree with you, but that's the unfortunate side of the business. So that's my take on that. So like to see how that is, but you know, the Ravens aren't going to carry two punters on the roster. So be interesting to see what comes of it. Maybe Sam Cook retires on his own terms before Ravens ask him and he says, hey, I'm retiring. And then he retires as a Raven and does it right. Who knows how that'll work out. But Jordan Stout could be the new punter of the future here for the Ravens. So see how that goes.
After I talked to you about that, I was like, I want him to be able to retire on his terms and this, that, whatever. Apparently what the Ravens did, though, they made him aware of the chances of them going after a punter in the draft. So he was at least made aware, like, hey, this might happen. So I do respect the EDC and the Ravens for doing that for Sam Cook. I think Sam Cook, if they do decide to move on from him, he'll go somewhere else. He'll play somewhere else because he's very valuable. Just his knowledge of the game is so incredibly valuable. So
absolutely.
I don't want to see him go to like the Steelers or the Colts or something like that. But, you know, if somebody else comes calling and they're offering him a buttload of money, then of course he's going to go for it. You know, we saw that with Terrell Suggs going to Arizona when you thought he was going to retire a Raven.
Speaking of Arizona, we missed that point earlier and I wanted to bring it up to you. That kind of rang the bell for me. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but while it was fresh in my mind, that showed you earlier that night in round one that the Marquise Brown trade happened. It was already pretty much done deal because how did Marquise Brown get to the Arizona Cardinals draft party the same night that the trade happened? Everybody was like flabbergasted. They're like, what? How did that happen? And I'm like, yeah, you don't think this was in the works for a while? Like, duh. So you really can't be surprised. And how about EDC, man? You know, a player comes to you and says, I want to trade, and they release them. And the media, Baltimore media, and I'm not saying they're evil, you know, sports media, I mean, but they tried to put that spin on it, right? Orlando Brown asked for a trade, and the Ravens granted it. Now Marquise Brown asked for a trade, and they granted it. That's twice. Is there a pattern here? Like, you know what? Hey, they want to leave, let them leave. You know, you alluded to it earlier. It's not a right fit for everybody. If you're here and they don't like the scheme or they don't like the coach, then find better passers. Don't be a nuisance on the team or a cancer. You know, ask for a trade. Let's get some value for you instead of just releasing you and getting nothing for you. And have at it. You know, you go to big, bigger, better pastures, and maybe the Cardinals knew themselves, because it just got revealed today that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be suspended for the first six games for the substance abuse policy. So
that's right.
It seems like the Cardinals might have known something, right? So who knows? And you alluded to Lamar being his best friend, and everybody's like, well, they did Lamar and him were all, and I'm like, do you realize where he went? That was his college quarterback.
Yep.
Marquise Brown was catching passes at Oklahoma from Kyler Murray. It wasn't Lamar. They were just from the same county in Broward County, Florida. They weren't, and I think they went to the same high school or something like that. So it's like,
and we saw, yeah, we saw in the AFC North how good the chemistry is if you play in college to the NFL. We saw that with the Bengals this past year.
Yes, and look at Jamar Chase. Oh yeah. My God, like him and Jamar and Joe Burrow, they got the secret sauce. And Jalen Waddle, same thing down in Miami, and now he's got Tyreek Hill. So they got some problems too. But you know, but what I'm excited about though is Rashad Bateman, because how exciting was he to watch last year, moving the chains, making some plays, to now see that he's the true right now number one receiver right now. We don't know what the makeup is of this team as we get closer to the season. It's way, way early. You know, we just entered May. But right now, Rashad Bateman is the number one receiver on this football team. And I'm excited about that, you know, just because of the young talent that we have now and the rapport that he has. Now we got Mark Andrews and we got the young talent. We're getting Dobbins and Edwards back. We got a couple of draft picks to use in there as well. So I'm excited for the future. We're young. We can get faster. See what happens with that. So I'm not going to reserve judgment right now. I mean, the receiving core, I was really panicking draft night. I'm like, we got to trade that second first round pick for a wide receiver, because you know, we have Bateman and nobody else. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, very interesting to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. With the money that they're saving from, if they were to let, Sam Cook go, that money potentially could go to another wide receiver if they get from free agency or something like that. Cause I think it's a little over $2 million they would be saving with, letting Sam Cook go.
Yeah, it would be. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it could be the writing on the wall. I don't know. Bittersweet, yeah. You know, but, you know, hey, you know, unfortunately, Ray's words, Ray Lewis's words, everything that starts has an end.
It's true.
So it's got to end sometime, right?
Yeah. So after we picked up the punter in the fourth round, we got tight end Isaiah Likely at number 139. You know, a lot of people are talking about the wide receiver. We talked a lot about so far in the show. This guy's a tight end, but supposedly there is some potential. At least Harbaugh sees him potentially being a wide receiver tight end hybrid, something like that. So, I mean, while he might not be your traditional tight end, he could flip flop in between those positions. And, you know, I guess only time will tell of like what he plays long term.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the makeup of this draft really, it focuses on two things: immediate needs and depth.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm happy all around. I mean, again, with how they maneuver the board, the grade isn't just, you know, A+ because of, you know, the picks or the names. It's how they maneuver the board. It's what they did. It's making the trades happen. It's just the way they navigate the draft. This is why I've always told you it's one of my favorite things about the offseason, because it's just so exciting. You're seeing the team built. You're seeing how the Ravens just continue to lead the standard in drafting, and how EDC and his network just gets it. And, you know, taking a page from the great Wizard of Oz, and you know, now we're in good hands with EDC for years to come.
Yeah,
I'm excited, man. I'm very excited with this draft. I really can't wait to see. I can't wait to hear from the players. I know we heard from the first two picks. Can't wait to hear from everybody. I can't wait to just, you know, see them I can't wait to see David Ajoba back on the field and, you know, working through that Achilles injury and wishing him the best. And not only that, but everybody that was hurt from last year coming on back on board. And I really can't wait. But on paper, this team is fun and dangerous right now.
And OTAs, they're at the end of this month, right?
They're coming up. And not only that, but we're recording here a couple of days into May and 10 days away, the schedule gets released. So we'll be reconvening in less than a few couple weeks here, a few days, and we're going to be covering where the Ravens are playing and when. So we know the opponents now. We're gonna know the full schedule. Not only that, but we're gonna know everything. We're gonna know the whole as we do it. The whole Monday night lineup, Thursday night lineup, Sunday night lineup, the big marquee matchups outside of Ravens organization. Who you like to see? But I can't wait to break the Ravens schedule all down. It's another favorite of mine, and get the circle, and I'm circling a road trip, and it's going to be Tampa Bay. It's like to see Brady one last time. That's going to be fun to get down to Tampa and be there for the site. And I've never been to the stadium, and just to be there in the actual stadium of the Ravens' first ever championship, it's going to be fantastic.
What about if it's a Christmas Day game? You going to go there at Christmas to Tampa?
Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
I can say yeah, but I know if my parents are listening, they'll be like, no, he's not. So,
hey, I don't know. That's how you get them to go down there. You buy them some tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone, come on, parents. Let's go. Mom, pops, go to Tampa for Christmas. But now we'll be see how it shakes out. But can't wait to see what plans I can make once it all comes to fruition. But again, man, Ravens lead the draft. And, you know, I got some crazy – because, of course, with social media, I grabbed a lot of screenshots of things that there was an instant reaction. I can't wait to read them to you.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
You want to go through the gambit here?
Well, we got two more guys to – let's just cover these guys up real quick. We got
– You got it, brother.
Cornerback Damarrion Williams. Supposedly this guy is a lot like Tavon Young. Hopefully he's not as injury prone as Tavon Young was. But with Tavon Young being let go, I believe he's with the Bears now. This guy definitely fills that spot up. And then we have running back Tyler Batty at number 196 in round 6. Hopefully we have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards both back. But this guy will definitely bolster up the running back position as well, because we did see, you know, what happened when those two guys went down. The running position definitely struggled a little bit, and we did have guys like Tyson Williams and Justice Hill there. This guy just kind of adds to those that position, and, you know, we'll see if he makes it on the team. But, you know, if J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards potentially go down, this is at least another guy there to fill that spot.
Well, you know what, like we allude to, like looking at the board, you know, Armour, Davis, Williams, cornerback depth. Love that right there. Building that down the line. You know, they went through. So they got two corners, two tight ends, the punter, the running back, you know, defensive tackle, outside linebacker, center, and the safety. So you look at across the board, man, fall in love with anything right there. And not only that, but Batty's going to be great. I saw the highlights on this kid. He's got some running skill sets, man. I can't wait to see him, what he can contribute to the Ravens. And imagine having him, Edwards, and Dobbins in the mix. And not only that, but taking the pressure off Lamar. You know, we like what Lamar can do running-wise, but he just needs to do less of that. Do it only when necessary, when the pocket breaks down. I don't want Roman to just call a run play for Lamar for the sake of calling a run play because he can. No. And having Tyler Batty in the team would certainly help the cost for Lamar to run less is my hope.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at the slow Ravens, they're our newest flock members, and can't wait to see what they contribute. And yeah, I'm excited for anybody and anybody who gets drafted in the NFL draft, but especially with the Baltimore Ravens, man. These guys are a great group of guys, and I can't wait to see them on the field, man. I'm really excited for training camp.
This is going to be a blast to see. There's a lot of new talent, a lot of great talent. Let's see what happens down the road. But honestly, I think this was a great draft. It's filled some spots, and we got some guys here that will definitely make this team better. So this is going to be a fun one to see moving forward, and I can't wait. Maybe we'll pay attention a little bit extra to OTAs this time around. But we'll see what happens. But instant reactions, Josh. Let's hear some of these.
These were good. First round, Colin Cowherd. Ravens clearly got the best safety and the best center with the 14th and 25th overall picks. Pretty good night. So that was instant reaction. Daniel Reese tweets out, how can you be upset with the Ravens for flipping a disgruntled wide receiver, which you pointed out, that you probably weren't going to extend? Again, we pointed out, yep, for a first is beyond me. It was beyond me, too, because I'm like, why is everybody pissed off? Like, they got a first-round pick for him.
The only thing that makes me ticked off is now I have to buy my godson yet another new jersey because I got him Marquise Brown for Christmas last year.
Just get him like a Ray Lewis jersey and then call it a deal, because you know that can't ever happen. Get him the retired Hall of Famers. Greg Rosenthal, NFL Network. I know there are many more picks involved, but Marquise Brown was traded for a higher first round pick than Tyreek Hill. We already alluded to that. Dan Orlovsky, NFL Live. Wow, shocking. Ravens drafting very good football player again. Just a well-run organization, gushing at it, gushing, gushing, gushing. Jeff's Penguins. I'm a Steelers fan, but the Ravens have the best front office in football. So smart. Yes, they are, Jeff. Yeah, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Steelers still suck, by the way. I had to plug that one, but I thought that was a pretty good one. Field Yates, of course the Ravens land David Ojabo. Baltimore just crushes the draft. Austin Gale, David Ojabo to Baltimore at 45 is insane value and such a great landing spot for him. Ravens can't miss right now. Again, gushing. David DeChance tweets out, the Ravens always do this. Don't get Jordan Davis at 14. Okay, just get Travis Jones at 76. Unbelievable. Got some data on said Travis Jones. Ravens continue to widen the draft value gap by selecting Travis Jones at 76. His average draft ranking was at 38, and he was the number one rated overall college player. I mean, need you say more? Dan Paul Page tweets out, Ravens can keep killing it. The NFL execs told me Travis Jones could be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Again, 76. Chris Sims, who I tweeted at you earlier, Travis Jones, again, more Travis Jones love. No way. Ravens get another big, bad effort on the D-line. This shocked my face. Jones was my defensive tackle number three in this draft. Moves so well, you can't believe he's 325 pounds. Round one talent goes in round three. Ravens just continue to steal the biggest, baddest dudes on the planet. I love that one. Just love that one. Matthew Berry, our good friend for fantasy football for ESPN. Man, Ravens, man, crushing this draft. Ian Rappaport, literally every pick. This is such a Ravens pick. Love it. Love it. Brandon Walker, every Baltimore Ravens pick always just makes so much sense. We know. And ESPN followed it up with an article, a new premium QB values, and the Ravens are really good. Yeah, they're really good. They are really, really good. So, again, it's a reaction all around, Twitter and then some. They loved our draft. So, an A-plus draft grade, I'll take that all the way and put that on the fridge. I'm proud of that one.
I love it.
You proud of that?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, just thinking about that draft, just like how it went, trading Brown, you just didn't know what they can do and what they're capable of. And it just shows you nobody's safe. If you're unhappy, you're going to get traded. We're going to grant the wish. We're going to cash in. And the Ravens just continue to lead the way. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of this team, just how they draft well. EDC, very, very, very grateful to have him on the team as our general manager. And thankful that he stayed Ozzie's understudy and didn't leave, because he could have been offered the Packers job and didn't take it, I heard, and several other positions. And no, he stayed truthful to the team and the franchise. And we are handsomely rewarded, and we cannot thank him enough. We love that.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything for the NFL Draft 2022 edition of The Call?
With the 297th episode of The Call, Josh Murr says, quote the Raven, never Murr.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Tell us who you think is the best pickup in this draft class for the Baltimore Ravens. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ52 as of right now.
As of right now, yeah.
As of right now, I don't know.
Still thinking about changing it. He's still thinking. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And you can actually click the subscribe button right on Facebook and listen to our show directly on our Facebook page. I love that feature. It's pretty cool. I actually got to say, our show came out last week, and one of our listeners, loyal listeners, always talking to us, Steven over on Facebook, he was like, "Now I know the NFL season has begun. The call is back." And I was like, yes. You know what? That was awesome. Thank you so much for listening.
I appreciated that one. That was one of my favorites. I love that. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, yes, we are back. And yeah, can't wait to break it all down in a couple weeks with the schedule. So we just covered the draft. Now we got the schedule.
No, not a couple weeks. Next week. Next week, dude.
I stand corrected, sir. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, next, 10 days.
Yeah. So can't wait. We will be back, and we'll be doing our show next week to cover the schedule. That's our favorite show because we get to do it live. We do the live show and just get instant reactions of, like, the opponents. But, you know, with Zoom changing their rules, I don't know how live it's going to be this year around, but we'll see. But anyway, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, "I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too." So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We will be back next week talking about the NFL schedule. But for this draft show, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much for everything you do. Appreciate everybody's interactions I was interacting with on the social medias. Instant reaction was awesome for the draft as we recapped and just talking with you guys about who we might get, who we might look at as the picks are coming up and pending. The instant reaction to celebrate with you guys when it pinked and the triumphant, exhale of relief and knowing that we got the guys that we needed and got some names that have been linked to the Ravens and then some. So definitely exciting times. And we wish Marquise the best. I know some fans, I don't want to rejoice in that. Some fans, and we are sad to see him leave, and like Eric DaCosta said, it's a sensitive subject for him because it's bittersweet because that's his first ever pick by himself. Eric DaCosta's first draft was 2018. Now that it was 2019. Yeah, it was 2019. Sorry, because 2018 it was Ozzie's last year when he drafted Lamar to set himself up. I stand corrected on that. My year's a little fuzzy. COVID messed me up. I feel like that whole 2020 year was like a void in time, and I'm like, what year is it? Like, I don't even know anymore. I just feel like I erased that year out. So like everybody else did. So I just can't believe that. So 19, 20, 21, we got 3 years out of him. So, yeah, Eric DaCosta first drafted him in 19. So it was bittersweet for him, as he alluded to. But business is business, and gentlemen be gentlemen and go their separate ways. And now, hey, everybody's happy now. We got a great new center, and Cardinals got a shiny new toy, and now they can't use their current toy for 6 weeks. So, hey, all works out. Kyler gets his receiver from college, and we got to somehow make Lamar happy. I don't know what's up, but that's another story for another rainy day. Till then, schedule release is imminent. Baltimore Ravens, the flock. How about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.